It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. We'll have another ABC News update coming at the top of the hour, and then another look at local and regional news for you. The state legislature is back in session for 2020, and that means a lot of bills are going to be floated up there on Capitol Hill. One of them that caught our eye and obviously gained the attention of those of us here that host this show every week was House Bill 197. A Utah lawmaker introduced the bill on Monday that would prevent people who have not paid their child support. And I think the actual amount in arrears is about $2,500. But those who have not paid their child support will be kept from obtaining permits for hunting and fishing. And this includes all tags, by the way. It was introduced at the request of the state's Office of Recovery Services as an enforcement tool to tackle. And this is a pretty big number. Over $404 million in past due child support in Utah alone. The bill's sponsor, Representative Carrie-Ann Lisenby, joined Dave and Dujanovic on Tuesday, and I thought I'd share part of their conversation just to get the representative's thoughts behind the introduction of this bill and see how you might feel about it.
I'm hearing from a lot of people, you know, it's interesting. I had no idea that this was going to make national news. In fact, it has been law in Nebraska for over 20 years. So this is not new policy. This is not groundbreaking policy. And it's just surprising to me that this is the conversation I'm having this morning. But I'm happy to have it, and I'm happy to engage in the dialogue because I think it's an important conversation.
It is kind of funny what catches fire all of a sudden. And obviously, parents that are behind on child support is a massive issue here in Utah. How big of a problem is it?
So according to data from the National Council of State Legislatures, Utah non-custodial parents owe over $404 million in past due child support.
Wow. $404 million just in Utah?
Just in Utah. That's past due.
So if your legislation gets through and gets passed, becomes law, how many people do you estimate will not be able to obtain a fishing, a hunting license, or a tag?
We don't have data on that right now, and I am not sure I don't know.
It'll certainly impact them, though. I would imagine some of them, because I would imagine a lot of these people want to fish and hunt.
I assume that it will. It has been effective in other states. For instance, Illinois, in the last 10 years, adopted this policy, and they saw an immediate uptick in payments because people wanted to qualify for their hunting and fishing licenses. It's interesting. I actually had this conversation with the director of ORS this summer, and then I was in Nebraska fishing, and I went to the gas station to get my fishing license, and they asked me if I was behind on child support, and I did not know that Nebraska had this policy. And so they actually match with a Social Security number. They match to their version of ORS in Nebraska, and if you are behind on your child support payments according to their version of ORS, then you do not qualify. So it's interesting, and it actually stems from a federal policy that was passed down to the states and tied to federal funds that flow through TANF and other sources to children in the state for resources for children in poverty.
When I first heard about this, Representative Lisenby, I was trying to figure out how did we link these two together? Of all the things and all the punishments out there, this seems kind of a strange one. How did you land on hunting and fishing licenses for parents that are behind on child support?
That's a great question, Dave. And, you know, they have the power, ORS has the power to affect your driver's license, your business license. If you go through Doppel and you're licensed by the state, they could take that away. So those things affect your earning power. I don't think it's a good idea to take somebody's earning power away when they're behind on child support. How are they going to pay that child support? This is different. It's a recreational license. It's something that that many people, both male and female, enjoy to do in this state. And so this is just a way, I think, to give ORS a tool to incentivize payment when a person is behind or in arrears. And I realize that there are multiple situations and people sometimes feel overwhelmed and at a loss because they're so far in arrears on child support, both men and women. And that is tragic, but there are recourses in the law. Go to a judge, go through the process if you feel like you are being unfairly discriminated against in the system. And it's a hard, hard thing. And maybe there are ways that we can make it more fair. And I'm willing to look at all of those ways. But I just thought this is one tool.
Representative Lisenby, before we let you go, I've got about 30 seconds left. So I go to Walmart to get my fishing license every year. I stand in line, I step up, and Betty at Walmart behind the counter asks me if I'm a deadbeat parent, or does she put my information in and it matches with the database to find out if I owe child support?
It would be matched to a database.
All right. So thanks to Dave and Djanovic for rounding up Representative Carrie-Anne Lisenby, especially during the legislative session, to talk about House Bill 197. I'm curious to see how you feel about it. We've had some feedback this week on our Facebook page, which is just KSL Outdoors Radio. Everything from full support to people who say this is just another example of useless legislation on Capitol Hill and a waste of the people's time. But let me just speak for a minute as a divorced dad, who I would hope will be remembered for not just taking the responsibility of the court-ordered support for my four children, but also hopefully went beyond the call of duty to make sure that my kids and my ex-wife had everything they needed to get them through in the best and the worst of times. And we're not here to judge anybody for the reasons why your relationships fell apart. But there's really no excuse, in my mind, for a dad who does not step up to take care of his kids. And it's very personal to me, not just because of my experience, but my daughter's experience as well. Her kids are now 10 and 12, my grandkids, and their father has not stepped up to help at all in the years since they split and went their separate ways. It's not right. And if this is a tool that actually recovers some of that money for the kids, which is the main emphasis that needs to be put here, I am in 100% support. And if you want to take shots at me for that, I'm speaking again from a personal standpoint. But with over $404 million hanging out there in past due child support, I'd like to know how you feel about it. And you can do that on our Facebook page. Again, it's KSL Outdoors Radio. We'll look forward to your comments, and we'll talk about it on next week's show. Just wanted to get that out there to get a little feedback this week. We'll take another break. When we come back, Navidanskas is here, and we'll talk some fish bites. For those of you that do have your fishing license, there's still some ice fishing to be done out there, even though we've got crazy warm temperatures this weekend. Tomorrow, they're talking about highs of 55 degrees in the valley. You want to make sure you're headed out onto safe ice, and we'll talk about it next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Well, let me tell you a story about a little fella. Black and blue with hands yellow. The bluegill boogie, bluegill
bluegill boogie, bluegill boogie, bluegill boogie.
That's ain't my Nella.
Try to gone, try to
bluegill boogie. You can't go wrong,
go wrong, right. Go wrong.
Hey,
go wrong.
Look over your shoulder.
Play
there.
It again.
See if this gets you in the mood for some fish bites. Take a look at this guy.
Uh-oh.
Get ready.
Oh. Nice! That's awesome.
Yeah. I think it's actually an advertisement for a lure of some kind called the Dragon Slayer, but they actually put it in reverse and do it in slow motion.
That's cool.
Big trout just jumps out after that thing and takes a big gulp of it. That kind of sets the mood,
it's
doesn't
a good
it?
Feeling.
That's a female brown there.
Is it?
She got up.
She got up. She got hops.
Yep.
Anyway, if you want to see the video we're talking about, you just go to KSL Outdoors Radio. Click on the Facebook page there and enjoy that video.
There's no pictures of us, thank goodness.
No. We were just talking about that. How
we have beards now, too.
People say you don't look anything like you sound on the radio, and that's a good thing.
Yep.
All right, let's talk fish bites today. I mentioned that the temperatures are going to be warm. That worries me a little bit for ice conditions in some places, but I guess up high it's still going to be...
Yeah, your altitude places are still going to be good. And I looked at the DWR website. All the usual hot spots are usually hot, and they're saying they're hot now. I haven't been ice fishing for a while, so I can't give you... personal, you know, and last week I talked about the whitefish spawn, which is now, and that's going to dominate your rivers. So fishing is exceptionally good if you want to get out there in the winter and get in the water. And, you know, nothing like stalking a river in the winter, you know, when it starts to snow, Tim, and the sound is acoustically dead and you can hear your own heartbeat. It's so good.
Before we get too far removed from the condition of the ice, I just want to remind everybody the last week we were talking about an incident down at Utah Lake.
Right.
Then we had down in the valley at one of the ponds, we had a problem where somebody's dog ran out on the ice and he ran after. So lower elevations, I think I'd just stay off the ice.
Yeah, but, you know, in fairness, both of those stories had nothing to do with ice fishermen.
Right.
They were just people.
Yeah.
Right.
But still, you don't want to be out on
the ice. I get it, altitude, for sure.
So where did you want to go with tips for this week?
You know, I was just going to tell you that, you know, you're going to fish an altitude lake, you know, your strawberries, your, you know, East Canyons. If you're going to ice fish, it's good as it's ever been. And then if you're going to go stalk a river, we got some really wonderful ones. We got the Provo, we got the Weber, we got the Diamond Fork, we got Blacksmith's Fork, we got the Logan. They're all fishing great. And now that the whitefish are spawning, the roe's in the water, and that, well, they're going to, it's going to pick up. It hasn't started yet. It's really close to starting, though. And you just get out into the fresh air, and it's good. But
I wanted to ask you about, we came over 70 on the way back from Mississippi. Have never driven that all the way across. We were pretty much snowed in the process. It was a long crawl. But Eagle River.
Yeah, that's a great thing I wanted to talk about. And I've been meaning to tell our anglers here about Colorado because it's kind of not really on our radar as a fishery. When we go north to Idaho, we go north to Montana and even Wyoming, but Colorado has got a lot of rivers. If you're a river fisherman, this is a great state. And like if you just say we're on the 70 there, the Colorado River is great. And the higher you go in the Colorado, the better it is. And so, of course, above Grand Junction, up Glenwood Springs is about the lowest part. Between Grand Junction and Glenwood Springs, I fish, and the fish is great. But really, you have the Gunnison, the Roaring Fork, the Eagle, the Blue, all these, the Crystal. They all flow into the Colorado. So pick your tributary. It's a very easy drive over there. I'll tell you what I want to fish so bad. It's en route to the Colorado. It's called the Blanco. On the map, it's going to read the White, but everybody calls it the Blanco. I've seen some monster fish come out of that fishery, and it's a winter fishery. And the Taylor is another great. Oh, my gosh, the fish I see on the Taylor, it's a winter fishery. So we're talking February, March on those rivers. But all summer long, get up into Colorado because you just drive up the 70, and then there's so many trips that come in, and they all have their own personality, and they're all fabulous fishing. I mean, the Roaring Fork and the Frying Pan, if you haven't done that canyon, that's incredible. The Eagle, the Blue.
And all that close to the freeway, not that that's an attraction really, but cheap housing if you want to be lazy about it.
Let me tell you, I think the rivers in Colorado are underfished. Yeah, you know, I like the Campeche. Oh, the Campeche is awesome. The Miguel, the Dolores, the Gunnison, and, of course, the Enemas.
And there must be good Mexican food in between each one
you
of
know,
those things.
In Colorado, they make huevos rancheros that are so good.
But I'll bet it's not better than Navi's huevos rancheros.
Well, I wish I could say that they were, but they are. I mean, I'll tell you this one place in Durango, oh. Mexican food's so good.
All right, look, we got to wrap things up. Navi always says his favorite river is?
The river I've yet to fish.
There. Now, I'm able to show you what we were talking about on the, we were talking about on our news of the week here. Somebody came up with this great little device that is an arm extension that looks like human hands, and you actually put your fish in there and bring it, I don't know how long that thing probably is, 3 feet closer to the camera, which makes your fish look bigger.
They should have made the fingers look smaller. That would have helped.
Yeah.
Anyway, sort of the next pet rock thing. Quickly, give a plug for your classes, or just say hello to those that are already
in. Yeah, I got so many. I have 2 spots left in Wednesday and 6 spots wet in Tuesday, and that's it. I'm sold out. Wildtrouts.com. But join us. You've only missed one night.
All right. Don't go away. We'll get the latest from ABC News, and then on the other side, the reintroduction of bighorn sheep at Antelope Island. It happened this week, and we'll check in with the biologist who was in charge of that effort. So don't go away.
And the trout are gone, try the bluegill boogie, you can't go wrong.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.